It's great to welcome you all to our May All Age service. We're here to worship our loving Heavenly Father. Our service today is about what we believe. So we'll have songs and prayers and Bible readings, videos, a reflection. Hopefully we'll be able to rejoice in all that we see and hear about Jesus. Now, we've already heard a number of things for which to give thanks. Can anybody think of anything else that's happened this week, maybe in your life or that you're aware of, for which you want to say thank you to God? Anybody thankful for anything that's happened this week? I've already mentioned one thing I'm extremely thankful for, but anything else? Yep, so Darren was saying that Sarah's exam, she's in the midst of GCSEs, they've gone well. She had, I think, 5 last week and another 5 this week. Keeping going, but that's encouraging to hear because we've been praying for Sarah. Anything else?
Thank you for this fellowship.
Thank you for this fellowship. Yep, thank you. Anything else?
Thanks for the support this week on the drive.
Yeah, thanks for the support for Mark and Sue, and thanks to Mark and Sue and Susie as well in sorting it all out so that we can support the great work that Christian Aid is doing, much needed in so many parts of our world. Brilliant. So Judy's husband, Rob, has been having eye treatment and that's improved. And sons too, doing well. Well, the writer of Psalm 101 says, 103 says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And to bless the Lord is to speak well of him, to speak well of his goodness, and to speak well of his greatness. So we're going to do that together as we sing our first song. You maybe noticed that it's just me up the front. That is not it. We'll be using the YouTube videos that we used during lockdown of our musicians and singers singing for us. So we normally stand if we're able, but if you're more comfortable, please sit. The words and the music will be on the screen, and we'll just sing along with them. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's continue in our worship.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
And let's continue in our worship as we pray together. Let's pray. And Father, we do indeed want to bless you. We want to speak well of your greatness and your goodness. And we've already seen this week, Father, we've got so much for which just to say thank you to you for all of your goodness and all of your greatness. We just want to come and praise you and worship you. Praise you for your greatness and goodness displayed in creation in this amazing world that you've made. But we praise you too for your greatness and goodness displayed in salvation, in loving our world so much that you give Jesus to be our Saviour. And we praise you that your greatness and goodness is seen in the gift of your Holy Spirit to equip us and to empower us to live for you. Father, you are great and you are good, and we do indeed want to bless your glorious name. And we do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our service today is all about what we believe. Hopefully we'll be able to rejoice together in all that we see and hear about Jesus. So it's a short video to get you thinking. It's called Evidence for Australia. And then we'll hear our first Bible reading from Luke 24. Thank you.
You know what? I don't believe in Australia.
You what?
I don't believe in Australia.
What do you mean you don't believe in Australia?
Well, people say it exists, but I've never seen it.
But you've seen photos and television shows.
Yeah, but you can fake things like that.
What about the people who've been out there on holiday?
They might have been conned. You see, you're flying around in a tin box for 24 hours. You could be just going round and round in circles. You could end up anywhere.
You mean it could really be Wheelock?
Yes.
And what about the kangaroos?
Well, they're brought in from the zoo to fool you.
What about the hot weather and the different scenery and the...
People, the accent, the different animals.
It's no use.
You know, I don't believe in Australia.
I'm never going to believe in it, no matter what you say.
You what?
I don't believe in Australia.
What do you mean?
You don't believe in Australia?
Does anybody think Australia really doesn't exist?
Well, people say it exists, but I've never seen it.
What if we changed Australia?
But you've seen photos and television shows.
Yeah, but you can fake things like that.
There are lots of people who will still argue in the same way. I've never seen God, I've never heard God, and so on. Today we're going to be thinking about how we know that God is real and how we know what he is like. But first, today's reading.
Did you get anyone to volunteer for the All Age Service Planning Team yet?
Nah.
Not yet.
Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. Jesus appears to the disciples.
While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them,
"Peace be with you."
They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them,
"Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have."
When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them,
"Do you have anything here to eat?"
They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them,
"This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms."
Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them,
"This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
So just to help us think a little bit about seeing and believing and so on. So you probably heard from our Bible reading that it's the evening of the first Easter Sunday. Disciples are meeting together. And while they're talking, the risen Jesus appears and stands among them. But you notice the disciples weren't quite sure what to believe about Jesus. They were startled, they were frightened. They thought he might be a ghost. Troubled and uneasy, hearts filled with doubts. And we'll come back and think about that story in a little while. But we're going to take up our offering now. Just to remind you that the bags support the work of the church, the pots support the children we sponsor in many parts of the world. And of course, if you give electronically, please just let the gift of the bags pass. And while we take up the offering, we'll stand and sing if we can, "For God so loved the world." Let's pray together. And Father, you call us to be your witnesses, so we pray that you'll help us to make Jesus our Saviour known through our words and through our lives and through our prayers and through these our gifts. And in his name we pray. Amen. So our second Bible reading is from Acts chapter 3, 12 to 19. Just to give you the context, Peter and John have just healed a man who's been paralyzed all his life. All the people are absolutely amazed at this amazing miracle. So this huge crowd gathers around Peter and John and the man that they've just healed. And Peter takes the opportunity to preach to them. So we're going to hear some of what Peter says, and via video, Sophelia is going to read for us.
Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 19. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and the righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By the faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
So in the early days of the church, the followers of Jesus were working out what they believed, particularly as they came to understand more about Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And over the centuries, the church has written down a number of creeds. And you'll know that sometimes Christians say these creeds together as a statement of faith. So we're going to do that now. We're going to say a statement of faith together. It's actually based on the words we've just heard. So it's based on Peter's speech here in Acts 3. So please say the words together against all. We believe the prophets said that God would send his servant to suffer for us.
Amen.
We believe that Jesus lived and worked on earth among us. We believe that Jesus was handed over to Pilate to be crucified.
Amen.
We believe that Jesus was crucified even though he was holy and good, so that we could be forgiven for our sins.
Amen.
We believe that God raised Jesus from death. We believe that God has brought honour to his servant Jesus.
Amen.
We believe that God will make all things new. Amen. So that's based on words from Acts chapter 3. So again, we're going to sing some words now that help us remember some of the things we believe, particularly about Jesus and his death and resurrection. So we're going to sing, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness, Christ Alone, Cornerstone. And we hope for the best as we sing. So thanks ever so much, Darren.
My hope is built on nothing less than
please take a seat. We're going to come before God in prayer together now. We've rejoiced in his greatness and his goodness, and we need to bring before him those both close to home and indeed far away who need that touch from his hand in the days in which we live. So let's come and pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the relative peace and stability that we enjoy in this country. We recognize that we are a country that is richly blessed in so many ways. And yet we realize too, Father, that for many people living in our world today, that is not the case. And so we want to cry out to you on behalf of the people in the Middle East. We cry out to you on behalf of the people of Ukraine. Cry out to you on behalf of the people experiencing civil war in Sudan. But for countless others, Father, and we pray for your healing to come to the land. And we pray for peace, and we pray for reconciliation. And we praise you again, Lord, because you can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So we do pray for your intervention to bring your peace. We also remember those who've experienced loss this week. We particularly remember the family and friends of the firefighters and the worker killed in the blaze in Bicester. Thank you too, Father, for the work of Christian Aid and for the work of the pantry. Thank you for the blessing it brings to so many lives. And Father, we just pray that you might prosper that work, and we pray that you'll continue to use it to bring relief, to bring help, to bring support to those who are struggling so much, both here and, of course, further afield. Pray too for those who've gone to other countries with the glorious good news of Jesus. Think especially of the work in Tekura in Albania and BMS World Mission, Tear Fund, Open Doors, so many others. And Father, where their work is difficult and tiring, we pray that you will give them strength. When they feel perhaps lonely and homesick, just remind them that you are there with them as their refuge and their strength. When they're uncertain about what to do, may they know the guidance of your Spirit. And Lord, at all times, keep them loving and trusting you. We also pray for the church in our own country. Father, we pray that you might strengthen the church where she's weak, that you might guard your church where she's strong, that you might renew your church where she's lost her vision, that you might give her humility when she's become proud and self-sufficient. But Father, may your church serve you with joy. May it fulfill your purposes with delight. And may you deepen the faith of your people as they proclaim this glorious good news of your kingdom. Do you remember before you those amongst us who are struggling at this time particularly? We remember those in hospital, and we pray, Father, particularly for George Bayliss and for Jonathan Stirk. But we pray for others too, Lord, with many different health issues, for those who are waiting, those who are waiting for results or tests or appointments, treatment. Lord, give them peace and patience, and just remind them of your love for them. And for others too, Father, who are perhaps worn down by different burdens at this time, maybe at work or amongst family or in their circumstances. Again, draw near to them, we pray. And will you encourage them, Lord, and just remind them that your hand is on their lives and that you love them so much. And for ourselves, Father, we pray that you might just fill us with your love. Fill us with your love so that we might gladly speak for you and serve you and work for you and just offer our whole lives to you so that the name of Jesus is given all the honour, all the glory and all the praise. We ask it all in his name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue in our worship with our next song, which again reminds us of the greatness of our God. How great is our God, the splendour of the King.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please take a seat. So I've got a quick message for you. If you'd just like to do what it says for me, please. We've got a couple of really quick people there, and another one, and another one. I thought we might be here a bit longer, actually. It is a message in a secret code. Can you crack the code? Some of people have, allegedly, at the back there. Here's what you have to do. Read every second letter, starting at the first letter, and when you finish, start again at the beginning with the letters you missed. You don't all have to do it. So start at the beginning, every second letter, beginning with the first letter, and then you go back to the beginning with the letters you missed. Would you like a little bit of help? I don't know whether that helps all that much. But if you start with the first letter, read every second letter, then go back to the beginning and read in the white. That is the answer. By all means, please come and sit back down if you'd like to. Thank you. So if you read the yellows and then read the whites, it says, go to the back of the church. Have you cracked the code? Brilliant. Once you have cracked the code, you can understand the message. Disciples spent a lot of that first Easter Sunday being confused, didn't they? Hadn't dawned on them that the scriptures had come true in Jesus. So when they meet the risen Jesus, they are not sure who he was. They're startled, they're frightened, they think he is a ghost. So Jesus says this to them. Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Then he gives them an invitation. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And the disciples are amazed, full of joy, but they didn't believe in Jesus. Still didn't believe in Jesus. So Jesus asked them a question. Do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then Jesus told them that the scriptures explained that he would suffer and 3 days later rise from the dead. And then the code is cracked, isn't it? And they finally get it. He has risen. I suspect they spent the next few days talking with one another about all the things Jesus had said and done. You can imagine them talking, you know, remember when Jesus said this? Remember when he did that? We just didn't get it, did we? And they're also, I guess, chatting with Jesus as well during this time, talking amongst themselves, just trying to remember everything that he said and did. Trying to reread the scriptures, trying to get their heads around all that had happened. And then Jesus returned to heaven, didn't he? The Holy Spirit came on them in power at Pentecost. And now they're ready to share the good news about Jesus. And they don't waste any time. Take every opportunity they have. And we saw that in our second Bible reading, Acts 3. Remember what had happened? Peter and John have just healed a man who's been paralyzed all his life. People are absolutely amazed at the wonderful miracle. And this crowd gathers around Peter and John and the man who's just been healed. So Peter takes the opportunity to preach to them. And he tells them straight, but can you crack the code to help work out what Peter said? It's not quite as difficult as the last one. To crack the code, all you've got to do is replace the letter in the code with a letter that comes after it in the alphabet. That's all you've got to do. Replace the letter in the code with a letter that comes after it in the alphabet. I think it's that way round. We'll have a look in a minute. So Peter told the crowd that they had something, something. So replace the letter in the code with a letter that comes after it in the alphabet. So Peter told the crowd that they had something, something. Replace the letter in the code with a letter that comes after it in the alphabet. If it's easier, do the second word first. I think we're picking up some of the words. Rejected Jesus. So Peter told the crowd they'd rejected Jesus. Peter told the crowd that they had something, something, something to Pilate to be killed. I think some have got it already. Peter told the crowd they'd handed him over to Pilate to be crucified. Here's the next one. Peter told the crowd they had something a murderer be released in his place. Could probably guess that one. I think somebody did there. Demanded a murderer be released in his place. And then finally for this part, Peter told the crowd they had something for his death. Brilliant. Been responsible for his death. Doesn't actually look very good, does it? Peter's told the crowd they rejected Jesus, handed him over to Pilate to be killed, demanded a murderer be released in his place, and been responsible for his death. But I wonder if you noticed that then Peter said two words that mattered more than anything else. But again, can you crack the code? I wonder maybe with our young friends could do that with a little bit of help. This is the easiest part, hopefully. I wonder if you can work out what the code is by replacing the letter with a letter that comes after it. You can have some help, by all means help. So the letter that comes after it in the alphabet. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. There we are, but God. And you can all say this next bit together, hopefully. So the important thing is not what Peter understood, but what God had done. So Jesus was rejected and disowned by the people he came to save altogether. I just meant the but God bit, but thank you anyway. The Jewish people, with the help of the Romans, put Jesus to death. Raised him from the dead. Peter and John might have told the paralyzed man to walk, had compassion, and gave them the power to make it happen. In fact, everything there was about the power and love of God. The resurrection of Jesus, the newfound confidence and assurance of the disciples, the healing of the paralyzed man, it's all about the power and love of God. And of course, the Jewish people might have had Jesus crucified, the Romans might have put him to death. But if they repented and believed in Jesus, then they know salvation, they know his forgiveness. And that's what the disciples have worked out since that first Easter. They could see that everything that had happened was part of God's plan. They can see how Jesus fits in relation to that plan. Now they're being obedient to God. They're telling everyone about the risen Jesus. And of course, that command is also for us as well, isn't it? We've got to make Jesus, our Saviour, known through our words and through our lives in the power of his Holy Spirit. To do that, we've got to be sure of it ourselves, haven't we? We've got to know what we believe and why we believe it, so we can share this glorious good news with others, just like the disciples. And actually, we've got advantages over the disciples, because what have we got? Well, we've got the New Testament. We've also got the creeds that we mentioned earlier, just helping us understand the Christian faith. We've got people to talk to about the good news of Jesus. We've got people to pray with about what we believe. And then hopefully we too are ready to answer questions. Tell me all about Jesus. What has God done? What's he doing in the world? What happened to Jesus? We can give answers, hopefully, to the glorious good news about him. Well, Jesus said to his disciples these words. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name of all, in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that's exactly what we've seen. We've seen how Jesus suffered, how he's risen from the dead, and we've seen Peter and John preaching the good news about him and healing that man. And I hope we too will be part of that great commission to share this glorious good news about Jesus. Now, as we come to prayer, I've got three phrases for you. They're all said by Jesus and Peter in our Bible readings. And unfortunately, I put them in code again. So can you crack the code? These are pretty straightforward, hopefully. Here we go. So three phrases that Jesus and Peter said in our Bible readings. What's the first one, do you think? I think I can hear a few whispers. Turn to God. Here's the next one. With the answer. Give up your sins. And there's the last one. I've heard the first word, you. Will. Be. Brilliant. You will be forgiven. So three wonderful phrases from the words of Peter and Jesus. Turn to God, give up your sins, you will be forgiven. So let's pray together. Father, as we look back over another week, we realise that we don't always do the right things. Sometimes we say things that are unkind. Sometimes we do things that perhaps hurt other people. Sometimes we don't always help when we should. And we know that all these things turn us away from you. So we want to say this morning that we're sorry. And we ask that you will help us to turn back to you and stop doing wrong and instead do what you want us to do. But thank you so much that you are a God of forgiveness. That every day there is a new start in you, and we just bless you and praise you that you are great and you are good, and we offer you our praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are hopefully going to sing one final song. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. We're going to sing My Lighthouse as best we can.
You are the peace in my troubled sea.
Together. So Father, once again we want to offer our lives to you, to serve you faithfully and to follow our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So please will you send us out to work and to witness freely, gratefully and hopefully in the power of your Spirit and to the honour and glory of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.